We have a caddy-heavy episode as we sit down with a few of our favorites. We're going to chat with Corey Connors' caddy, Kyle Peters. We're going to do a full breakdown of the PGA Championship. But before we do that, welcome to episode 14 of the Flagstick.com Tee Talk podcast. My name is Stefan Tiedorf. Sitting across from me is the associate publisher of Flagstick.com and a PGA of Canada professional. Sounds much better this week. Scotty McLeod, how are you doing, buddy?
Well, I've got a voice, so that's a good thing.
You sound great. Also in the studio is the man that just had his second child, our producer, Nick Gallinger. Nicky, are you getting any sleep right now?
I've been peed on more times in the last couple of days than I have in my 30 years.
He had a boy. He had a boy.
There you go. But we actually have a couple other guests in studio this week. Let's start out with one of our favorite guests, our first ever guest on the podcast. He's back in town, returning for the first time, Ryan DeVoe. Ryan, how are you?
Good to be here again, obviously. Still kind of suffering from that Dallas Stars Game 7 loss, but I mean, I guess life will go on, so we'll talk some golf.
Do you want to lay on the couch and talk about it? You're sounding pretty sad
therapy.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like let's talk about some golf. But it is good to be here. Good to see you guys.
We're happy to have you back, but we also have another local caddy to the area currently looping for Hannah Green out on the LPGA, Nate Blasco. Nate, how are you doing, buddy?
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
We're happy to have you.
Are you actually here? That was barely.
Yeah. Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, there you go. Nate's here.
Well, let's get into it, boys. It's you guys have been out on tour for a few months now, a little bit of a break in the schedule. How's the start of the year been going for you, Des?
Yeah, I mean, it's we've struggled a bit to start the year, which is something that's interesting because we kind of came out hot last year, but it's really not something that me and Ryan are concerned with. Had pretty good progress last week, you know.
Set a course record.
Yeah, that was a good day. Yeah. You know, I didn't read any greens that day, as we've talked about.
Well, I hope so.
I like the way our game is trending right now. It's been a slow-ish start by our standards, but obviously next 10, 11 events, we got three or four majors, I think, coming up. So we're focused on peaking at the right time and using the momentum from San Fran.
Yeah, can only go up from here. Nate, how's the start of the year season been going?
It's been going okay. A bit of a streaky start to the year, I'd say. But given it being her second year and everything, I think she's adjusting to tour well, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the year.
Any of the betting public out there, you guys have probably had like three first-round leads this year. Every first round.
She loves getting off the hot start.
Yeah.
So that's good. We'll keep that going the rest of the year. We'll just work on rounds 2, 3, and 4.
Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, she had a great performance in her home country. How was that for you guys down there? I mean, obviously it had to be received well.
Yeah, that was really cool.
For the listeners, she's from New Zealand, correct? Australia.
Or Australia.
Australia.
For the listeners, she's from Australia, correct?
Yeah, she's from Australia, so that was cool. Home game for her. Had a pretty good crowd out there following us, and she played well there, so that obviously makes it a lot more fun. So, Australia was a great start to the year.
For you, I mean, she's only 22, is that right?
Yeah, 22 or 23.
Okay, so for you, I mean, you're not that much older than her, a little bit, but, you know, you're sort of the veteran kind of helping her along. How's that relationship that way?
I don't know. We've both been out there 2 years now. I wouldn't call myself a veteran necessarily. But she's very, like, she's got an awesome head on her shoulders. Like, she's, like you said, she's 22, 23, but, like, you wouldn't know it. Like, honestly, she's a super mature girl, super easy to work for. I don't feel like I've really had to do anything to kind of help her get prepared to tour life or whatever.
Okay. How much of a break do you guys have right now? I don't know when you guys are returning to tour now.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to hang with a couple of my buddies. We're having a little bachelor weekend, so I think my off time is going to be a little less, but I'm going to head out on Sunday.
Okay.
Which I guess will have given me 10 or 11 days off, which...
That's a good break.
Really good break, especially, yeah. I mean, I could have potentially had 3 or 4 weeks off in this four-month stretch, but on those off weeks, I was with Lauren at a couple of symmetric
events. Right, actually, your break wasn't quite a break. Yeah. You were caddying for your girlfriend, Lauren Kim.
Yeah, absolutely. So, which is obviously... a really great way for me to spend my off time because we want to be with each other anyways on those off weeks. And her LPGA season started a little later than ours, so she was playing a couple to keep her game sharp. And then so this is my first off time in like 4 months, but it's been nice logging a lot of couch time. Got all the numbers to the fridge and stuff.
So. I was going to say, what have you been doing? I know you've been playing a little hockey. And don't get to do that a lot on tour, that's for sure.
Little puck, yeah. It's always nice to go out there and see if I can still stand up on my edges. But that's something I look forward to a lot when I come home. Basically just getting away from golf. One time playing this time while I'm home will be a lot, but
I was trying to drag you guys out.
You were
couldn't
you were.
Pay you. To I think come it was more.
I think it was more a scheme to try to get that wedge I brought home.
You went viral a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
with
that got a
video.
Ton of attention. I mean, I was just all I ever do on Instagram or Snapchat and stuff is just post my buds back home because obviously we go so long without seeing each other with the nature of my job. So. Yeah, I like took off on that plane thinking my buddies would think it was funny and had like 50 or 50, 60 messages on Instagram. And I guess everyone was loving it.
When you tell everybody what it was,
Go ahead.
So I like Ryan 3 or 4 weeks ago in a tournament had to hit a shot. There was a couple rocks around a cart path, so I obviously guided her in the wrong direction. but she hits that miraculous shot out and obviously calls the PXG rep up. It's like, hey, I'm going to need something next week. So was nice enough to say, hey, are you interested in taking this home? And I said, yep. So bubble wrapped it up on the plane and I got some mixed reviews online. I feel it was actually kind of cool because I was like, man, all these like people who are famous on Instagram are like, oh, you wouldn't understand the things that people say. And then I'm like, oh, these people are like, who is this hack racking paying $300 or $400 for a wedge and like bubble wrapping it. So I like replied to everyone. I was like, hey,
screw you, man.
I paid zero. I paid zero. So it was sufficiently bubble wrapped. But
I mean, why did you take the video? I mean, did you see the guy grab it and start swinging with it?
It was actually kind of funny because it was, I think either Ryan or Lauren was texting me like, you know, why did you bubble wrap? And I was like, well, I bought a hockey stick. I went to a game with Stone like 2 or 3 years ago and bought a stick. Woke up the next morning and it was a purchase I didn't remember. And I was like, how am I going to get this home? So I like checked it, just put the sticker on the stick and it made it home. And I'm like, I'm not going to like lug around a box to the airport. I'll just bubble wrap it. And I'm a caddy. I got this. I know how to do it. So bubble wrapped it up and, you know, just tagged it up and they're all like, we don't think it's going to make it. It's going to break. And I was like, well, if it breaks, it's like double good because I'll get it reshafted for $20 and American Airlines will hook me up with another precision milled PXG wedge. Kaboom, baby.
At what point did you think the baggage handler was actually going to like, you know, scoff it and
take
off with
it? I wasn't like doing the video to be like, this is going to be hilarious.
Right,
I was
like,
hey, I'm just going to show everyone it made it. And then instantly I'm like, oh my God, this is like very funny because he was swinging it the wrong way, sizing it up like he's going to like go on the first tee at Beth Page and like first tee, what's the course record? And then he like so gently caresses it onto the tarmac.
It was like saying goodbye to your high school girlfriend when you go to college.
Exactly. He's like, I knew this wasn't going to last, but you know, like,
we had to break
you. I'll always love you. Bubble wrap PXG wedge. But.
So Nate, what about you? When you get home, you know, you try to hide from the golf course or do you get out there? What do you do? I mean, you obviously played a lot of golf too. The both of you, you know, I remember you both playing junior golf. That makes me feel old. But
you are old for the record.
Yeah, thank you. So what about for you?
Home for me, especially this time. We've been so lucky with this awesome weather we've had. So to get out and play some golf.
For the record, honestly, this guy's got a great tan. You can't see it right now, but a great tan.
He's glowing.
Yeah.
And the lights are off.
Thanks, boys. I appreciate that. But no, when I'm home, I mostly just hang out at home and take it easy. I don't really go out and do too much. I would probably go out and play golf if it was a little nicer. I'm not so against playing golf as much as Dez is. I don't know what Dez has against golf so much now. I don't know what scarred
him. It's weird because I love it. I love like caddying so. I feel like it's like, for me, it's like I'm playing a video game with Ryan when she asks my opinion. And I'm like, you know, 152 would be a pretty good land. She's like, sorry, I hit a 151. I chunked it. And then I go out there and I feel like I'm playing Tiger on like extreme difficult gale force. I can't even putt the ball in the fairway. So.
Well, it's also you used to play at a decently high level too. And now you're swinging a golf club once a month.
Yeah.
And now your expectations haven't changed, but your body can't do what you want to do. Right?
That's exactly right. And like, you know, you see all of them play and everything and their tempo is so good and their technique is so good that it just, I don't know. I feel like whether it's valid or not, I'm just kind of scared if I get back into grinding golf that I'll really not like
golf
being
in
on
general?
The golf course.
Yeah.
Caddying for
I
Ryan.
Can see that.
So I feel like, you know, it would be interesting to see if I like hit balls for a week or two straight, if I like started to enjoy it a bit more, but just for now, I really don't have a problem staying away.
How many rounds a year would you play now, Nate?
15 tops.
And would you play on the road? Would you play just at home
with
buddies?
Yeah,
well, I was
even ask Des, like, the most fun rounds for me now are playing out on tour with the other caddies.
Yeah,
like, that's
okay.
a blast.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, me and Nate were in, what is that, A&A or something? There's this place, this sick little track called Goat Hill Park.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
And they have this, like, night skins game where, like, everyone
two different golf courses.
Yeah.
Goat Hill is in,
where's the,
in San
the
Diego
skin,
and Indio is in Palm Springs.
So, Nate's correct that, like, there are times that I do enjoy to go play, but I do not seek out playing. When it's, like, 10, 15, 20 of us, like, I remember, I think I told you guys this last time on the podcast, like, I've turned down, like, Chambers Bay, like, some pretty decent courses because I'm just like, I don't want to go.
You're just going to throw
like,
that out at us or what?
Well,
thanks,
I just didn't want to go.
Humble brag.
Yeah, there we go.
Because I'd play Amherstview for free.
Yeah. See, I would honestly more enjoy playing Amherstview with my friends.
Yeah.
Having
yeah.
four or five beers, walking, not driving. Obviously.
When would that be? Like, if it's a week, would it be a tournament week? Or would it be like an off week when that would happen? And if it was a tournament week, would it be like a Monday night or a Tuesday night or something like that?
Like playing with the other caddies?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably not from Thursday to Sunday.
Yeah.
It would be more likely Monday to Wednesday, I'd say. But I would put myself in the same boat as Des. I don't really go out looking for golf rounds. To play with anybody, but if I hear of 15 or 20 caddies going out to play, like I'm not missing,
because there
that.
Certainly are those
that's
boys.
So much fun,
because there's probably I don't know, maybe like 30 of us around 30 that like kind of all hang out a lot, and there are 5 or 10 of them that you know each, like they bring their clubs, they're trying to play golf, and like for me that's just not.
Yeah, I played with a guy last year in Scotland, one of the caddies, Paul, you know, Paul Cormack, right?
Big Bolts fan. How'd they do, bud, in the first round?
Not so hot. Sorry,
Paul.
Whoa.
We're not talking about first round.
But anyways, we were out in Scotland, and he claimed it was his first round in 5 or 6 weeks. I might have to fact check that, but he shot 7 under in Scotland.
Come on.
And it's just like, it's a joke, some of these guys.
Yeah.
So they're grinding. They're guys that want to play, but they just happen to be caddy enough.
A lot of them have played professionally. Right?
Yeah,
right,
a lot of them have played professionally. I would say that like...
So hide your wallet.
It's still like, they're aware they're not going to make it. They're not grinding, practicing, but they're still like...
They just love it.
So good. Like, and because you know Kevin, who used to caddy for Lexi.
Yeah, of course.
For Amy Yang. Yep. They got a win in Singapore or something, but like, he's still really sick.
Yeah, he played the Canadian
tour.
Played the Canadian tour.
Solid
player. Scottish guy.
Yeah, yeah, he's got game too. Galloway plays a lot. Michelle's a caddy.
Yeah, and he's a great player. I've seen him on a couple of videos, and I mean, he just tore up the par threes. I'm not sure if that was
He's got a good compact swing.
Eric
Let's
Andrews
not pump
lane.
Galloway's tires too hard because I fear he's going to listen. So, he's also a Bolts fan, so you got swept in the first round.
So last time you were here, you had a lot of you were getting yourself into some different stories, into some trouble on the road. You got any stories from the first couple months out there, boys?
First couple months, I don't know. You got any, Nate, off the top of your head?
No, I have good stories from past years, but this year I've been good so far.
Yeah.
Well, we accept past stories. Ryan said he had
one
teed up for us.
Yeah,
so.
I was rattled I didn't tell this one last time. I got at the door and was thinking if I was lucky enough to get back on. So maybe like I think 2 or 3 years ago at ShopRite, it's a 3-round tournament in New Jersey. One of our buddies, Kyle, caddying for Anna Nordquist, and they're coming down the stretch, and it's – you know, back 9, up 2 or 3, I think, you know, 3 or 4 holes left, they're up 4 or 5. So it's clear they're going to win. And my boss and me have already finished. So I'm like, wow, you know, like all these girls always throw water on their friends when they win. Like I go up, they're coming up 18, and I go to the beer tent. And I'm like, you know, I need 4 beers. No, we only sell 2. No, you don't understand. Like that's Kyle Morrison over there, that handsome tall guy, caddy. He's about to win. So I'm going to, you know, anyways, buy him. Yeah. So I'm walking up onto the 18th green, and all the LPGA events hire like independent security companies. So there's this guy in the yellow jacket security. I stroll up there. I got like my credential on or whatever. I'm like, hey, man, you know, he's like, hey, sorry. Like, I don't know why you're here. You can't be here, especially with those beers. I was like, nah, you don't understand. Like, and this guy was like doing a very good job, but most security at these events, like, they aren't really familiar with golf, so they're just like, you either have the credential and come on, or like you don't and get out of here.
It's not like they're going to know you or anything.
Yeah,
like that,
and like it's almost better that way.
I'm
to be
Nick
honest.
From the T-Talk podcast. Yeah.
We've had complaints about you, sir. Your face is on the wall in the break room. But so, anyways, I've got these beers and I'm waiting, and he's like, you know, okay, this seems really odd, but Anna's got like a 3 or 4 foot putt left. And like I said, she's 4 or 5 clear of the lead. And I'm like, you know, oh, you're going to love this, dude. You know, I'm about to go on there and shower with beer. They're going to win. And as soon as she like hits the putt, he goes, aren't the people behind going to like be pissed at that? And I was like, what? And like, I had a couple beers. And they're like, there's a group behind. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I'm so happy I didn't do that and get like fined by the tour. And like, that would not have been good.
Just a tour vet out there being so aware of everything that's
aware
going
of my surroundings.
Whoops, not so good.
Mm-hmm. Nate, you got something for us? Got one teed up?
More on-course stories, just like number screw-ups. I'm really good at those. I've
Big math guy?
Yeah, not a big math guy. I've probably made as many mistakes as like a 25-year vet has made. One that pops up just because he said Atlantic City. I'll use Atlantic City, which we're not playing this year. Thank you, Hannah, for skipping that event. But it was on the 10th hole, and you know how the 10th hole kind of has that high grass kind of covering
left,
the green?
On the left,
so
yeah,
you
before.
So you can't really see, like, if you're far away, you can't really dictate how far you are from the hole.
Yeah, you just know it's, like, front number.
Yeah. Pretty much. So
is that the little dog leg right?
Dog legs back left. It's, like, if you, like, hit, like, an average drive out there.
It's, like, driver
have, like,
wedge.
Yeah,
it's,
wedge.
Yeah, okay.
It's an easy hole.
But if it's a front pin, it's kind of sneaky.
But anyways, so we were playing the final round, and we were off the back nine, so it was our first hole. And the guy that does our yardage books, he does paint in the fairways, and he does all these different shapes that just tell us the number to the front of the green, and then we have to add on the pin sheet, whatever. Anyways, one common shape that he uses on the fairways is a red circle, which is very easily confused with a red plate that a golf course would have on the golf course.
100 yards, sure. Right?
It's 100 yards, the middle. So anyways, just like I've done a million other times, I was like, oh, there's a red circle. I'll pace off that, and I'll add the number, whatever. I remember we pulled 8-iron, and I was like, oh, this is like perfect club. anyway, she hits it, and like I said, there's the high grass, so you can't really see the green. And anyways, one of the caddies up watching on the right.
On 16T or something.
No, in our group, up watching on the right is like going like this to me, like pointing like long of the green, and I was just like, what the fuck? Like, how'd she hit that long? Yeah. Like, it was a perfect 8-iron. Yeah. And then we're walking up to the green, and she's like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, I mean, I hit that really well, but that went like 60 yards or so, we'll say. And I'm just like caddy frantically looking in his yardage book, like, all right, what the hell happened here? And then I was like, oh shit, we just played that like 23 yards longer than what it actually was. So she's in the back bunker in position X. Anyways, made a pretty sick bogey. She forgave me shortly after.
Good thing you can read
that,
a green.
I've done
though.
That 3 times now.
Oh.
Well, right. You're known for your green reading, so maybe that's...
Yeah, we'll go with that, I guess. Well,
make up for some other things.
Well, we're going to send it over to our interview now with Kyle Peppers. He is a caddy out on the PGA Tour with Corey Connors. And when we come back from that, we're going to break down the PGA Championship. We're going to give our picks. Nick's batting 1,000, so you're going to want to hear who Nick is picking this week. So wait around for that. Make you some money. But as I said, we're going to send it over to Kyle Peppers, Corey Connors caddy on the PGA Tour right about now.
All right, we want to welcome in Kyle Peppers, who's a caddy on the PGA Tour for Corey Connors, Canadian Corey Connors, who obviously recently had a win. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I'm looking forward to it. Never been on a podcast before, so looking forward to it.
Good to break you in.
They say you never forget your first, Kyle. I'm glad I can guide you along this process.
Yeah, all right.
So for this interview, Kyle, we're brought to you with your good friend, Ryan DeVoe. He's our first returning guest, and we're very happy to have you on, and he's told a few stories about you. We won't get into those yet. Maybe we will, but let's get into what Scott said. You just picked up your first win with Corey Connors just a week before the Masters. You got into the Masters. We'll get all into Augusta and all that, but let's talk about that week because that was a crazy week leading up to that win.
Yeah, it was crazy how everything happened. I mean, we were in the Monday qualifier, and I mean, honestly, going to the last hole, I didn't even really think we had a chance at a playoff. I think we were 3 under going to the last hole, and I was thinking, maybe if we make birdie, that's still not enough. But he made about a 30-footer on the last hole to get to 4 under, and then we get into the playoff. And going into the playoff, I'm like, well, I think it was 6 guys for 1 spot.
How'd you guys? What'd you guys do? Did you get it in the first or second?
It was the first playoff hole, and the other five guys all laid up off the tee. And we're sitting there, and Corey kind of asked me, he's like, what do you think? And I'm like, you know what, let's just go for it. Hit a 3-wood here. It was a dogleg left that kind of got – it narrowed up down at the end of the fairway. And I was like, you know what, let's just hit 3-wood here, try and make birdie and get out of here. So everybody else laid up. We hit 3-wood, and then we've got a wedge coming in. The other guys have like 7 and 8 irons coming in. And they kind of hit it all over the place. We hit it to like 5 feet, and then we made the putt and got in. So – looking back on it, I guess it was a good call.
easy to say now, right?
yeah. So we get into the tournament, and then we're just happy to be playing. And then, you know, going into the weekend, we're playing well. Saturday, I guess we're moving up the leaderboard. We're close to the lead. And then Sunday, we're in the lead. And, you know, starting out, I think we had like 4 birdies in a row. 4 or 5 birdies in a row, and we made 4 bogeys in a row.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we make the turn, and I really didn't have to say much to Corey at all. Like, he's a really, you know, level-headed guy, and he doesn't let much get to him. And we went to the back nine, and he played unbelievable. And, yeah, it was pretty cool coming to the last hole. We had a 2-shot lead coming to 18-tee. And I was like, well, what do you think here? You know, what do we hit off the tee? And he's like, oh, still like the driver. And he smoked it right down the middle. We laid up to a number that he wanted and had a kind of a tricky 2-putt, but we could have 3-putted and been all right. So, yeah, it was a pretty crazy feeling. Even walking off a 16, my legs got a little wobbly there.
Was that the putt? I remember you sellied one like so purely for yourself, like just like a little, like just like you were grabbing like a baby dove fist pump. Was that one?
No, it might have been 15. We had a par putt, and it kind of lipped in, you know, went in around the edge and fell in, and I'm like, oh, that was huge. And Mallory was celebrating there too. I'm sure you guys saw more of her than you did me.
I think the whole world saw that, which was a great thing though. That really added to it.
Yeah, I think that was the wine. That was when she had the wine in her hand, was that one.
So at what point did you bring up the fact that you guys were going to Augusta next week?
He made the putt on 18 and he turned around and looked at me, and I was like, all right, I'll see you for a practice round tomorrow.
Nice.
You guys instantly like were aware of that? I guess if you have the 2-shot lead, was, you can kind of enjoy thinking about that.
Well, that was I think that was a lot of the pressure right there. It was knowing that if we win, we go to Augusta. And you know, the other thoughts that I was having was, you know, it's been 10 years since anyone's even Monday qualified and won. Yeah. And it's not just that, but you Monday qualify and you win, and then you're in the Masters. So
that's crazy.
Crazy.
Nobody's ever done that the week before.
And then you get to upgrade from your hot dog and water, right? Is that what I saw?
Yeah, yeah. I was having hot dogs and waters all week. That's kind of how it happened. And then I got to Augusta, and I kept it going, and we didn't win, so I'm done with that one now.
It's all done.
I was over the hot dog.
So we'll never see that on your Instagram story again.
I am instantly running to the grocery store and buying hot dogs right now.
It was funny, the week of the Masters, like, everybody's sending me pictures of hot dogs. Somebody sent me a picture of the entire hot dog section at the grocery store.
That's amazing.
It was out of control how many hot dog pictures I was getting.
So was that your first time at Augusta National?
Yeah, it was. I live 2 hours from there. I'm in Charleston. And growing up, I've had, like, tons of opportunities to go. And I've never gone just because I've kind of wanted to wait until I could work it. So that was pretty special how it happened.
So what were your initial impressions when you got to the grounds?
Well, let's see. We didn't fly out of San Antonio until about 10 o'clock on Sunday night.
And you got the good flight, right? I hear.
We did get the good flight. Yeah. There was only a few of us.
Not a big deal.
Yeah.
little PJ.
Yeah. It was a PJ. Yep. So, I had a few cocktails to celebrate on that flight, and then when we landed, I had a few more. So I woke up Monday morning. I was still a little wobbly, and I've never been there, so I don't know the whole setup. And I get there, And we get to the gate, and it took him about half an hour to get my credentials made because Corey hadn't registered yet. So I couldn't even get in. So finally I walk in, and then they walk me into the caddy area, and they give me my jumpsuit. I put my jumpsuit on, and I have no idea what's out the back door. And they walk me out the back door of the caddy area, and you walk straight onto the range. And I'm like, holy shnikes. It was like heaven on earth.
So that was like your, that was your hit you moment?
The range? Yeah, that was it. Everybody's like, you know, what was the one thing you remember most? And it was like my, that first walk out onto the range where I'm looking around and I'm like, holy crap, I can't believe we're here. You know? So, yeah.
Pretty sick.
Yeah.
I mean, how hard is it for you to, you know, I mean, obviously you're there for the first time, but, you know, you're used to going to new golf courses and trying to learn them, but how much more difficult was it as a caddy to, you know, kind of navigate your way through Augusta National?
Well, the most difficult part was the greens.
Good thing you didn't have Dez.
Approach shots or green, like
Yeah, I didn't have the Dez Greens book from up in Canada.
Yeah, is that a chirp from the episode you listened to? Yeah. Everyone's got to learn, dude. I'm going back for the remaster this year. You just wait.
Yeah, but that's actually one of the, that's one of the things about Augusta. There's no greens books there. That's one of the only tournaments on tour that they don't have a greens book for. So, and the greens there are unlike any other course that we play. And I've heard a quote before that you don't read the greens at Augusta, you remember the greens there.
So did Corey help out that way in the fact that he had been there and played there before? Do you have some notes?
Yeah, that was really helpful, the fact that he had been there before. And it also helped, you know, I went out and I walked, I think I got all the holes done before he did. So I had the targets off the tees and everything, but he's played there before, so he knew all that. But most of the practice rounds, my time was just focused, you know, and recording all the putts that he hit and just trying to take as many notes on all the putts as I could. And that was the, I think that was the most difficult part.
Peppers, I got a question, even though I'm not the host.
Yeah.
Were there ever any moments when you like were asked for advice that you're like, I've like seen this on TV. I know that you should like play this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, cause you know, like 16 to Sunday or like, you know, swooping in, yeah, or, like, there, you know, yeah, were there any times where you're like, yo, I've seen this. I know.
There weren't any times like that where he asked me, he's like, oh yeah, I know this because I've seen it, but you get to some putts and you just know exactly what it's going to do because you've seen it on the TV or whatever.
I know this. I've played Tiger Woods, PGA Tour 13, breaks left.
I got a game breaker on this putt.
there's a few courses that we go to, like Bethpage. I've played here, you know, on Tiger Woods and stuff before.
Like, what'd you fire?
I have no idea. You know, I haven't played in forever. I probably should have pulled it out and practiced a little bit before this week.
But, yeah. Corey's like, Kyle, you walked the course? You're like, yeah, dude, it hasn't changed since 2005. Dude. I had my PS2 last night.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, is it helping you in any possible way there or what?
Yeah.
Let's transition over to that. Well, no, before we get into that, let's just talk about how you got on to the PGA Tour. You took a crazier path than most. At one point, you were out on the Latino America Tour. Talk about the path that ended up on Corey Connor's bag.
Yeah, I started, let's see. This week is my 9-year anniversary of being a caddy on tour.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah, thanks. It was the week of my 19th birthday, and I drove down to Mobile, Alabama. There was an LPGA event down there, and I had some, you know, a couple connections through people that I knew, you know, girls that played out there, and they're like, oh, just come out to a tournament, and we'll try and get you who we can get you. And I drove down there, and a girl named Libby Smith Monday qualified, and she hired me. That was my first week out there, and I'm, like, forever grateful for her taking me, and she was the – probably one of the best people that you could have had a first week with, because
there's some bad ones.
Yeah, I mean, I played growing up, I played in college and everything, so I know the game, but, you know, caddying is a little bit different. You know, the psychology, there's, you know, it's a lot different than just playing. You have to do a lot of work and get a lot more numbers and take more notes and everything. But yeah, so I started out there. And I kind of went back and forth between the LPGA and the Symetra Tour for 4 years. And then I think what happened was I got the opportunity to work out on the web for a year. So I went out on theweb.com for a year, worked there. And after that year on the web, you know, I kind of got to know some of the guys that were playing out on the PGA, and I started going to some Monday qualifiers and picking up guys that were getting through and things like that. And then I got to an event, I got to the event in Reno, and I picked up Steve Lowry there. And after that week, he hired me to go out on the Champions Tour with him. So I worked a year on the Champions Tour. And then after that year, we split up, and it was kind of, it was a tough time of the year because the web was in the playoffs. The PGA Tour is in the playoffs. There's no more Monday qualifiers. LPGA is in Asia. So the only thing I could really do was either work like Q schools or go down and work on the Latin Tour. And there's a guy down there on the Latin Tour that took me. So I went down to the Latin Tour and I worked like five or six events, and it's crazy down there. And we can come back to that later, but finished out the year on the Latin Tour. Let's see. And then I decided, I kind of knew when I switched off of the girls tour, I knew that I couldn't really get to the PGA Tour from being out there. And then after a year on the Champions Tour, I realized like you can't really get out there from being out there either. So I needed to go back to the web. So the next year I went back out onto the web. That's where I met Corey. And then Corey got his card that year. I didn't work for him out there. I worked for Chris Nagel for half the year and then Nicholas Thompson for the rest of the year. And at the end of the year, Corey got his card. And he called me to work for him out in Napa. And then after that, he hired me. And we've been together ever since. So, yeah, it's been a crazy ride to get out here. If I could do it all over again and kind of make a road map, you know, to get to the PGA Tour, I might have done like a year on the Symetra Tour and got my mistakes out of the way there, and then and then bounce over to the web and work there for a year or two, and then get out on the PGA. But instead, it took me, you know, 7 years to 6 or 7 years to really get out here. So.
Well, it ended up working out, and word is you just bought a new house, too.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, Kyle, Airbnb for the U.S. Women's Open.
Yeah, all the boys will be staying there, so hopefully we'll have some appliances in there for the guys to use.
At least a fridge for these guys, for
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I think I'm closing on the house, I think, two days before everybody gets in, so.
What I mean, you mentioned how crazy it was down a Latino America tour. I mean, how much different is it than, you know, caddying anywhere else domestically, I guess?
Yeah, I think I just love it down there because it's always an adventure to get around. You know, getting from city to city is crazy. Like, I went down, there was one tournament in Nicaragua. I had to fly, I was coming from the U.S. somewhere. I had to fly into Managua, and then I rented a car down there.
That sounds like the start to a bad story.
Yeah.
Or a good story, really.
There weren't any lights.
Thankfully, I knew a caddy down there that I could room with. But I flew into Managua, met him there. We drove the 2 or 3 hours, whatever it was, to this little beach resort where the golf course was. And yeah, so I'll tell this story here. So we're staying there like Wednesday night, and I've never been late to a tee time. And the next morning we're teeing off at like 6:50 in the morning, and
curse.
Wednesday night, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm supposed to pick my player up at 5:45, by the way.
Oh, nice.
And Wednesday night, like 2 in the morning, it's dumping rain outside, and I'm like staying in this hostel on the beach. There's like a tin roof, just pouring rain. And my roommate looks at me, goes, "Hey," he's from Argentina. He goes, "Hey, my friend, maybe the rain no good for the roads." And I'm thinking like, it can't be that bad. Like,
that's just what he thinks. Yeah. He's like, we're trapped.
I'm like, it's not that bad. It's just some rain.
When does the volcano go off?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a different story. Oh, okay. That's a different country. That's Guatemala.
All right.
So we wake up in the morning at, you know, 5:15, we leave, whatever. And we start the drive. It's like a mile down a dirt road to get to the entrance to the resort. And you get to the entrance and it's a mile uphill. And we're driving down the dirt road.
What are you driving? Like a 19... 19- 89 Geo.
I have no idea what it was.
It was not a good whip.
And on top of that, the roommate had left the windows down, so the back seat was flooded that morning.
Yuck. Nice.
But we get to a fork in the road, and it kind of either dips down or you can go over this little bridge on the side. And we get to the fork, and there's a tree that's fallen over the bridge, and the other side has been completely flooded and washed out, and there's no way for us to get to the golf course. And I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. So I had to, like, climb over. I'm like, dude, we got to move the trees. And he's like, no, it's not safe. There's snakes here. I'm like, oh, my God. So I, like, climb over the tree. I hitchhike with a local to the entrance of the golf course, and I start running up the hill. Somebody picks me up and takes me off, and I get there, and there's like an hour delay and
heroic time.
Wow.
So, still never been late.
What a glorious, luxurious life.
Yeah, and then there's another tournament we played in Guatemala. It was literally on the side of a volcano, and it's like the volcano is active. So we're on the driving range, and you're hitting balls with this volcano, and it's puffing up smoke like while you're hitting.
Wow.
It was like we were at dinner in the middle of the night, and you can look up at the volcano and it's spewing lava, and you're watching it come down the side of the mountain.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, the sad thing is, like a couple years ago, or it was last year, I think that volcano erupted and the golf course is gone.
Yeah, that's
now.
Right. Yeah, oh, yeah, wow. Yeah. Were you ever thinking when you're out there, I just need to get off this tour as quickly as possible?
Well, yeah, I was thinking that, but people have asked me, like, if you could caddy on any tour, which one would you do it, or which one's your favorite? And I'm like, well, obviously, if money's not an option, you know, the fans, the crowds, if that doesn't have anything to do with it, I want to caddy on the Latin tour.
Yeah, because you want the time.
It's just such an adventure down there.
It's a time out there. Yeah, I've never done any events, but I have heard and seen via Snapchat.
And the web, you know, the web.com tour plays in Panama, Bogota.
Yeah, our buddy won Panama this year, Mike Ligic.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so
like, I'm not allowed to say that name on this podcast anymore.
he butchers it badly.
You mentioned a delay that day, and it looks like you're in for a few delays this week. It looks like it's going to be a rainy week at Bethpage Black for the PGA Championship. How are you guys preparing for the week?
We went out today. Well, we got here yesterday, and we hit balls for 2 hours, but it's just been miserable the last couple of days. Like yesterday, the high was 50. I don't know what that is in Celsius. Sorry for all you.
Not much.
Yeah.
Still cold, bud.
Yeah. But yeah, it's super cold. It was windy. It's raining the whole time. So we hit balls for, you know, 2 hours yesterday. Today we went out and played 11 holes and it started raining again. So we called it a day after that. And the other thing is the wind is going to switch around. It's going to be coming from a completely different direction. So
it's always tough.
What we did today is going to be totally different than what we're doing on the weekend, you know? Mm-hmm. And the golf course is it's so soft that by Sunday, it might be completely different. You know, I mean, it's going to rain. It rained today. It's going to rain tomorrow, but you know, as nice as the golf course is, it could be completely different on Sunday. So, but yeah, tomorrow we're going to play another 18. We played with Lucas Glover today, actually, who
last time it was there, he won.
Yeah, back in 2009, he won, so he's got a few
nice
got
ball,
a few pointers,
dude.
From him.
Oh,
nice
I got knowledge. All the stats nice here, stats guy. Wow. And it's looking like the exact same week that he went through last time, where it was just rainy all week, and Monday finished for him to pick up the win. How about that for a stat there, Des?
Wow, dude.
Pretty good statistics.
All right, should we be expecting almost like a second U.S. Open this year with the way the conditions are and also that golf course?
I think so, yeah. I mean, it's the weather's horrible so far. And the high going into the weekend, I think, is like, I want to say like 65 Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
So I really don't think the golf course can dry out that much, but it's definitely going to favor somebody that hits it long and straight. And Corey is a guy that drives the ball really well. So
I was going to say, I mean, what are his thoughts on the golf course? How does he like it?
He likes it so far, but we've only seen 11 holes as of right now. he's never been here before. I'm sure he's played on Tiger Woods. But...
I was gonna say, you gotta fire on Tiger Woods.
Dude, why aren't you playing tonight?
He probably really likes the golf course. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Corey's such a—he's a good player, good ball striker. He drives the ball well, and if the putts are going in, then any golf course is good for him. So.
You guys have an interesting pairing in Furyk and Leishman for the first couple days. Does that really affect you guys that much, or you just kind of look at that and go, that's a pretty solid group?
Yeah, Corey's already said he really likes the group. He's gotten to know Furyk a little bit because they're both RBC guys.
Not a big
Leishman,
deal.
Leishman, we played with him last year. I think it was in San Diego at Torrey Pines. And
he looks like he's a beauty, eh?
Yeah, him and Corey both have really similar personalities, and they also look like each other. Corey's been mistaken for Leishman before. So, yeah, I think it's a really good pairing, and Corey's going to be really comfortable.
Has he whipped out a Listowel / Aussie accent to try to cover and sign some autographs, or what?
Leishman or Corey?
Well, Corey, yeah.
Yeah, Corey hasn't done the Australian accent yet.
The more important thing is, who have you been mistaken for, Kyle? Why did you... Is there anyone? Does anyone ever come up to you and they're like, "Oh my God, Corey Carnes is caddy"?
At the Masters, somebody came up. The Masters, you know, you have to walk around with the jumpsuit on. Mm-hmm. So
it's not like A&A. Like even when you like, because at A&A we have to take them off.
No, yeah, the Masters
just keep it on all the time, so they can identify the caddies.
I like this. Caddies interviewing caddies. This is good. I like it.
Yeah, anytime that you go out, like. Onto the range, practice area, anything on the golf course, you have to have your bib on. So when I was out walking the golf course, obviously I had the name on my back, and everybody had just seen what we did the week before. And,
right.
You know, people are, Monday morning, they're like, "Oh, you must have caught a red eye." Or,
something like that.
Shut up. Don't tell my boss I'm hungover. Oh, wait, he was with me. It's good. Free pass.
I mean, how hot are those jumpsuits?
They're really hot, and the bag was kind of heavy that week, but I was floating around that place. I had no idea.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we also see you this year at the Canadian Open. Corey will be up there, as you mentioned. He's an RBC-sponsored athlete. I don't even know if that's the right term. I'm just going to go with it for now.
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to with the Hamilton Golf and Country Club?
You know, last year we had it at, you're going to have to help me.
Glen Abbey.
Yeah, Glen Abbey. We had it at Glen Abbey last year, and we didn't play well, but, you know, it's really nice to be there in front of his family and all the Canadians. Obviously, there's going to be a little bit more support this year just because of what we've done so far this year. And I'm just really looking forward to the crowds and all the support. It's really nice when everybody's behind you like that. So
no, he was home and got some practice rounds in at Hamilton. Did he tell you anything about the golf course?
I know it looks really good right now. He compared it to some other places up there that are, you know, I know the weather hasn't been great, and he said that, you know, some of these other golf courses are just dead and brown, and he went out to Hamilton, and it just looks pure. So,
dude, my uncle used to be head pro there. I've played it two or three times. You don't need any notes from me, but I'm just saying.
You don't want them.
Yeah, I've never been there. So,
yeah, that was my first greens reading book before the Loyalist one. That one sold even my dad didn't buy that one.
Yeah, they sell the nice ones out here. So,
good call.
We'll wrap it up there, Kyle. I have a feeling we're gonna talk to you again. Hopefully, after a big win this week. But good luck out there. Thank you for these great stories. We only have to edit a little bit of them. I'm sure it'll be all right. But thanks again, buddy.
Thanks, Kyle.
All right, yeah,
see
you,
Peppers.
Thanks, guys.
Crushing this week.
All right, thanks, Kyle Peppers, for that amazing interview. Wow, that guy, he is entertaining. He's got a lot of energy. No wonder Dez and him are friends. That's for sure. But we're looking forward to the PGA Championship this week, and now we're going to do a full breakdown. And, you know, Corey Connors, that guy's got a chance this week. He hits it long, and you're going to have to hit it long to win this week.
Yeah, I mean, for Corey, I mean, the only thing that's obviously going to be against him is if he doesn't get a chance to get out there and get some practice in, you know, he can play. But if he's not familiar with the golf course, this is definitely a very difficult golf course, something that you have to know very, very well. So that would be the only part that could be against him. Although Dez seems to disagree, I think.
No, I don't disagree with it. I was just going to say that I think it's going to be a big week of, like, what wave you're on. It sounds like with the forecast and the rain and everything, you know, it's like, obviously, me and Nate can relate. There's lots of times when you just know you're going to get screwed in a wave, but, you know, you want to get the day that it doesn't pour down rain, or maybe you get a better day first.
Well, Corey's got late early, and then Adam Hadwin, the other Canadian in it, he's got early late. So I don't know how that lines up with the weather, but I'm sure we can have a look at that, Mr. Weatherman.
I actually haven't looked, but that was actually one of the big stories that came out of the last time they did the U.S. Open. There was Tiger was one of the guys that got the really rough draws and was just in it in the pouring downpour and ended up just posting god-awful numbers and had no chance at that point. But I think it was really cool. Like, I'm throwing it off the cuff here, but we talked a lot about, like, we were joking about using Tiger Woods and these games we used to play as kids to learn golf courses. Have you guys actually ever done that before?
Well, we don't play any of the golf courses that are on PGA Tour, so.
Mm-hmm. No?
I mean, obviously, if it would get to that point, I feel like, you know, I could probably have a couple pints one night and throw on a little PS2 and play, but yeah, Nate's right.
Sounds like something Dez would do more.
I mean, hey, if we're still caddying on the LPGA Tour when they're at Pebble, then I'll whip it out and play.
Yeah, that's fair.
Let's get out Pebble.
There you go.
I'll just trust that the book's good from 2005 on PS2.
I'm sure the course hasn't changed that much. But yeah, back to the PGA Championship. As I said, it's been 10 years since the last U.S. Open there when Lucas Glover won. We talked about Lucas Glover and how they did a practice round with Corey did a practice round with him this week, well, 11 holes, which is, it's cool to see Lucas back. He's had a tough couple years out on tour, but nice to see him back where he last won his only major championship. I think it'd be a quick, fun time to kind of go over who we think's got a good chance this week and who our main picks are. As I mentioned, Nick's batting 1,000. We're gonna get to Nick last this week.
Nice,
because we don't want to give up his pick, but you're gonna have to wait around for that. Scotty, we're gonna throw it to you. Who do you got this week?
Oh, does that mean I get to go first and I get to take Brooks?
If you want to take Brooks, I have someone else I can think of. That's
all right. Fine. Brooks is my guy. You know what? He's playing well going into this. Defending champion doesn't really, you know, that doesn't really weigh into it that much. He played really well last week, and I just think the game that he's got really fits this golf course well. I mean, it'll fit any golf course well, but, you know, being the fact the course is super wet, this guy just crushes it. It's going to be a huge advantage for him this week.
No, that guy hits it long and straight, big athletic swing. He'll have no problems with the rough. That's a great pick. Nate, I haven't heard much from you. Who do you got this week?
I got Jason Day this week.
How come?
Oh. I like Day this week. He hits it high. He hits it long. He's a great putter. It's going to be and rainy out there. I like Day. I'm not a Day fan, but I like Day this week.
I was going to say, we joke about it, but like that rough's going to be wet. That could pull the back out.
And he won a PGA in 2015, so I mean.
And it just seems like it's the major that's most suited to him. I don't know. I like Day this week.
I like it. All right, Dez, you're up. Who do you got?
I mean, I'm obviously going to draw back and say that I was thinking Brooks was going to win, but just off the top of my head, I'm not trying to be funny, but is Justin Rose in the field?
He is.
Because I knew he was like kind of hurt or something. I feel like Rose,
he's 20-1 right now.
I feel like his game sets up really good for a golf course like this. And I also think that like he makes really good decisions. I feel like I watched a couple. There was one tournament this year that he was like 4 over through the first like 10 holes and came back and like almost won or something. Like, I just think that he battles. I think that he understands how to like do well at major championships. And I think he makes good decisions.
And his U.S. Open in Marion, it was sopping wet that week.
Yeah, so same kind of like place where he won. I just think he's a gamer, so I feel like he's definitely going to be in the mix for sure.
Before I get my pick off the cuff, he obviously made a big equipment change this year, going from TaylorMade over to Honma.
Yeah.
How much do the players out on tour talk about those big changes when they are making a big equipment change? Have you guys had to deal with anything like that?
I mean, I think with Rose, he won like his second or third start with the Honma club, so that kind of shuts everybody up.
That's
so I mean, if you switch equipment and have the results to back it up, I don't think anyone really talks about it.
I think that's a good point. I feel like we'd probably see it a lot less on the LPGA Tour, but I feel like you see a lot of players getting signed on the PGA Tour and maybe their game slipping a bit. I agree with Nate that I think it's like pretty big pretty big energy to like make a club switch and win like three or four events in with that company.
And chances are they've tested them before.
But even though I've obviously said that like on the LPGA tour we don't deal with it as much, like we certainly do. Like you see girls show up with like a different putter or something or a different golf ball. Right. To be honest, on the LPGA, Volvic's a big sponsor, and sometimes, you know, you see people starting to use that ball who weren't using it, and it's the kind of thing where...
Did really well for Bubba, right?
Yeah. I mean...
big change for him.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that was such a weird ad. Like, how much could they have paid him for him to be like, well, if I don't like the ball that much...
Apparently not enough.
You know? Because he, like... Didn't he win, like, 3 years the year after he came back to Titleist?
Won 3 times a year after.
Yeah.
But, I mean, sorry, to get back to your question, I feel like for us on tour that when you see someone switching equipment, if you know they're not getting paid... You know they're doing it because they believe in the equipment. But when you know someone is getting paid, you kind of like just subtly pay attention. You're like, I wonder if, you know, these new clubs, you know, obviously you saw it with PXG and Lydia. Anna did it too. Lots of other companies, but yeah, cool. It's interesting to follow.
Why do you think it happens less on the LPGA than the PGA? Because it seems like there's guys making big switches every single year on the PGA.
Well, I guess they don't have as big a contracts in the LPGA. There's not as many players getting paid to play clubs there. A lot of them are...
The biggest thing I would say is the equipment manufacturers are a little more generous on the PGA Tour. Like, what would you say on the LPGA? They've got PXG, Callaway, and Ping. Those are kind of the big three.
Yeah.
And after that, like...
TaylorMade really dropped off last
year. Nobody
really
helps out with the girls other than those three.
Yeah, like, it's like... I mean, I've never been fortunate enough to work at a PGA Tour event yet. I've obviously been to many, and I've seen all the, like, the company trucks and everything, but, like... Not to say that the club reps who are there every week don't do a great job. Sure. Scott's with Ping, John, PXG,
Yeah, the Ping,
Barry,
PXG, and the Callaway guys with do Callaway. Awesome work. Yeah.
They're there, and they bring, like, two travel kits. You know, they got all the heads. They got everything you want to try, whether you're Lydia Ko and you want to try something Callaway or you're, you know, the 150th blank player. He's going to get you the stuff. But I just think there's no sponsorship comparison. So I think that's why you don't see as many endorsements each week where, like, you know, say Corey Connors wins after Mondaying. You know, he's obviously not leaving his Ping clubs.
No,
I'm sure he could have showed up the next week with all new Titleist stuff and because he won. It just doesn't exist as much on the LPGA.
Fair enough. Speaking of Callaway, I'm going to give my pick this week. I'm going with Xander Schauffele.
Ooh.
This guy's won twice this year. He's always at the top. He was at the top at the Masters. I wrote down this pick. I threw a couple dollars on the pick and then looked up that this guy can't hit a fairway really to save his life right now, which is a little terrifying when it's that soaked out there.
And it's
Bethpage. Exactly, and it's Bethpage. However, the one stat that stuck out that made me really think this is the right pick is that he is number one in the distance closest to the cup from 150 to 175. He's going to have a lot of long shots in the greens this week. A lot of mid-irons, so... I'm sticking with Xander. You know, paying 29-1. That's a good that's good value.
Now, we didn't hear anybody pick a familiar name, a guy who's leading the greens in regulation. One here in 2002. I guess we'll leave that up to Nick. Are you going to
Nick?
Are you going to run with it, Nick?
Nick.
Tiger.
See,
I gotta stick with it. I can't.
You know, it's been 17 years since you won the Bethpage, right?
That doesn't matter.
How long was it between Masters wins, right?
You're asking the wrong guy here. I pushed the faders.
I love it, Nick. I knew you were going to go with Tiger, but it's not a terrible pick. He hasn't played since the Masters, which is a little bit concerning. We made a joke. You know, he looked like his back was a little sore. I said it just looked like a leg day to me. But, you know, the guys didn't get it. They don't work their legs.
You know,
much
Tiger can get to number one this week, too.
Yeah. Right? What's he need? DJ to come third?
DJ's got a.
Or 12th?
I think DJ's 11th.
Yeah.
At least 11th.
Like,
and then I'm not sure there's a couple other players.
There's one other guy.
Day Rose and somebody else.
Rose has to finish, like, outside the top two or
two.
I think it was Rose and McIlroy, I think.
Something like that. So.
Okay. So the most ridiculous possible way.
Not really. I mean, if you look at it,
I feel like also. If he wins, those other things are.
That's right.
Aren't unlikely.
No, I was rarely watching golf, men's golf. Well, because obviously we're usually playing, so I can't see the golf anyways. But I watched the end of the AT&T, and I saw that Spieth hasn't had a top 20 this year.
No.
Scotty, let's get into that.
I was going to say it would be a cool story if he won the career Grand Slam, like when no one saw him coming. I personally, I mean, I hope he never hears this because he's way better than I'll ever be at anything, sick golfer. I just thought after that putting year he had the one year, like it would always be hard for him to – continue sustaining success.
And you're the pro, like you're a teaching professional. You watch his swing. He was holding the golf club at the Masters like a 40 handicap. His grip was like the weakest grip I've ever seen in my life. What are you seeing out of Spieth right now that's just not adding up?
Have you not watched his grip and his technique? I mean, it's a little different than most people, but he gets it. He gets it done. You're right.
So is he just like technically not doing well, or is it in his head?
I think it's more in his head than anything. I mean, when he's struggling a little bit with putting, there's some things that I might be privy to regarding some things he's doing with his putting, but I can't really chat about on here. But let's just say he's been doing a lot of work, and you know, it may have not been paid off yet, but I think it's getting there.
Well, his coach comes out to the girls' majors. Who does he got? So Young Yu.
Yeah. Cam McCormick. So Young's his big one. Like, he's got Anna and Sandra
he's got
Gal
three or four.
A few girls.
So he always comes out there for the majors and stuff.
Yeah, I just think he needs a little boost of confidence and just to kind of get rolling a little
bit. Need some stuff going the hole and then a good week. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, you guys
It'd
know
be a
how
cool
it is.
Story if he won it.
It would be, and you're right.
I'm not saying I think that he will. But.
Well, I don't know. At 74-68, par 70, yeah. I don't know if he's got the...
He's
got
to hit 12 fairways.
He's really got to hit the fairways for that to happen. I mean... it's going to be too important, I think, for any of the players. And that's why I think yardage is a massive advantage this week. Otherwise, I would have probably taken like Molinari or something like that.
Or Ricky.
Exactly.
Speaking of Molinari's funny thing, we're joking about Tiger Woods. I was playing Tiger Woods 13 the other day. Molinari's brother was in the game, and this kid's not even in the game.
Eduardo.
Eduardo is in Tiger Woods.
This is the real question. Do you ever use Ty Tryon for a name drop? Remember that guy?
Oh, of course.
He was in those games. He signed like that 10-year deal, got paid by everyone, and then just didn't play.
Yeah.
Kind of like Anthony Kim nowadays.
Why
don't we throw out some quick dark horse picks? You don't need to justify them if you don't want to, or you can. I'll go first because I love this one. I threw some coin on Keith Mitchell at 126-1. This guy is on fire this year.
He can bomb it.
There's a good value bet right there, and who knows? He's always up for a major. You never know. Scotty, who you got?
I'm going to take a dark horse who's not a dark horse. He's 150-1, but he's got a half a win this year at the Zurich.
And he got the T-Talk bump.
You got it. Ryan Palmer, he's got four top tens this year as well, and he can move it. And, his putting stroke's looking good, and I think this is a golf course he can do well on.
Has he got a dark horse pick for us?
Well, we won't count Connors because we're obviously all cheering for him, right?
Well, you can count.
You know who I feel like we haven't heard from in a while? It's Cameron Champ.
Nice.
I feel like that could be maybe like, you know. I don't really know anything about his iron play or anything other than he smashes it.
And has a Canadian caddy, which
but
is
I
great.
But I feel like if he hits it as far as everyone says, I've honestly never even seen him really hit it. But even if he hits it in the rough, he's going to be pretty close to an okay spot.
As long as he's healthy, I guess. That's a big thing.
He really has to be hurting. So.
Yeah, he had some issues there. He was out for a little bit. So,
Who you got, Nate?
I'm going to take Eddie Pepperell.
Yes.
Oh, nice. Power pick.
Nice.
Just came second at the British Masters.
Very nice. Very nice.
Damn it.
Had a viral European Tour video today that came out.
I haven't seen it yet, but big fan of his content on Twitter. And, I just always find myself pulling for that guy. So I'll take Eddie.
He's my. I said today on Twitter, that guy could never play golf again. He'll be my favorite golfer forever.
Is he the guy, or is it Tyrrell Hatton, who did that shot this week? And he was like, wonderful flight.
That's Hatton.
But it's
Hatton.
That guy's hilarious. Yeah, Nick.
Just hilarious guy, Tyrrell Hatton. The guys on the European Tour, and shout out to Rue McDonald. He was on episode 2 or 3 early on. And
they do a sick job.
They do an amazing job on their social media, and he's right in the middle of all of it. And that video, if you haven't seen it, head to the European Tour's Twitter and check out the prank that Eddie pulls on Matt Wallace.
It's a beauty.
It's a great prank. Boys, we really appreciate it. This was awesome. We're going to have you guys back on. We can't wait for the Canadian Open, the Women's Canadian Open up at Magna Golf Club. Correct, Scotty?
You got it.
It's going to be an awesome time. We'll have to have you guys back on. We'll have to have both of your bosses on, hopefully, and we'll get some stories of the trouble you guys get.
I'm going to talk to Hannah, and Nate's going to talk to Ryan, and we're going to talk to our bosses about what to say.
Oh, we've been trying for both of them for forever, and they just keep ghosting us.
Because they want the Canadian Open, man.
They're waiting.
They want you to
bring maple syrup shots.
All right, sounds good.
We will do that. We appreciate everyone for listening this week. Enjoy the PGA Championship. Hopefully one of our picks makes you a little bit of money, or hopefully that your favorite player wins. Who knows? We're obviously cheering for Corey Connors. Thanks again to Kyle Peppers for joining us. everyone have a great week. But before we go, there's one last thing. There's one last thing. We need you to subscribe to the podcast. We need you to rate us 5 stars. How many stars do they need to rate us, Dez?
Rate them as many as you would rate any Uber driver, and that would be 5.
5 stars only. That's a new slogan.
I like it.
That's a new slogan.
You guys can have that one for free.
We had that one for free. I mean, cost me 18 Smirnoff ices, apparently, but other than that, it was free. We appreciate everyone for listening. We have our tournament this weekend as well. The Flagstick Open is taking place at Equinel Golf Club this weekend. If you haven't signed up, well, you lost out on that one, but we'll be out there. We should have some bonus content this weekend as well, so look out for that. Again, everyone enjoy the PGA Championship. Have a lovely weekend. See you later.